This time we get to hear from the great Kahan, Ilya Hawk.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Praise Yahweh. We want to begin with some of the pictures that were seen over the properties of the house of Yahweh a pastor had spoken about when the double rainbow had shown. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. There were many people calling in saying they seen faces. So we actually took some of the pictures, and some of these were not very hard to see. So we have two for you this morning, and we have overlays we put over them so you can see the detail that's actually in the faces of these pictures. And remember, only one person has the power to do these things or can give the authority to someone else to do them. That is Yahweh, and he's turned all things over to Yahshua. No one else has the power to do such things. And these things are being done to remember, like Isaiah said, through you, Yisrael, will I be glorified. So if we could go ahead and play disc one, please. Now notice the rainbow. When these were taken, it was noted that the rainbow, from looking over at the homestead, that it was touching, one end seemed to be touching the sanctuary of the house of Yahweh, and the other seemed to be touching the studio, which is where the word goes out to the entire world. That is where the prophetic words, much of the work of Yahweh goes out. Now, this is a picture that was taken in New York at the UN. And then watch how the picture overlays. And look at the glass. The outline of the glasses always stands out when you see a picture of Pastor and his beard. And watch the nose feature, how it all blends in. And then it'll fade back out. Watch how perfectly it lines up. Once again, to the glasses that run off the side of the face, you can even see the line that would go behind the ear. Now that night, for those of you that may not know, there were a double rainbow that was seen in the sky. There was an inner rainbow, and the amazing thing about it was how bright everything was on the inside of the rainbow. And then there was another rainbow, and outside of that was really dark. But these pictures were seen in between the rainbows, and one actually goes through the face. If we could play this too. This is another picture that was taken on the opposite side of the rainbow. So once again, you see, and this is actually a picture when Pastor was entering the Baird County Courthouse for his bond hearing. So watch it fade in, watch it fade out. And I know many people are saying, I see other faces in there, and we know they're there, but we want to overlay them to make sure we can bring it to you and show you exactly what Yahweh is showing us. So praise Yahweh for his mighty work that he's doing. Now, today we want to jump into something that is, it's been a story that's been told many times here in the house of Yahweh. And it was a story that started out in Graham, Texas. And many of you can repeat this story word for word. I hear the children do it. I work a lot with the boys in the missionary. And I've even heard some of the young ladies in the missionary group repeat this story word for word. And it started out back in 1934 with a man named William Otis Hawkins, who they called Ode. And his wife, whose name was Maggie Mae Russell Hawkins. Maggie Mae Russell Hawkins. Now, back in 1934, Miss Hawkins, Maggie, was pregnant. The banker came, or the sheriff came, and told Mr. Hawkins, Ode, pastor's father, that the banker would be coming in the morning. Get what it is you want, and load it up and take it with you, because once they get there, they're going to keep everything. And that's exactly what Ode did. He loaded up his covered wagon, two mules to the front, a horse and a cow to the back, and a chicken coop underneath it. And they traveled. They traveled all night that night till they got to Jacksboro, Texas, which was 24 miles away. He said he had a strong team, so he was able to make it that far. They continued their journey till they reached Chickasha, Oklahoma. And we've brought to you many times the bridge that goes over by the viaduct as it rises up and goes down steeply, where the mules actually started slipping, so Ode had to let them go. And they traveled down the bridge fairly quickly. Now, the bridge you see had been redone. When we went to Oklahoma, me and four Kahans and a deacon, we have been researching and studying this. We've been to Oklahoma over 12 times for this specific information because we wanted exact, specific information. And the bridge had to be redone. The lady at the library told me and a Kahan and a deacon She said they had to redo the bridge because the bridge you see now, you see how steep it is. Well, it was even steeper than that. She said they had to change it because it scared the people to death to go over it. People wouldn't use it. So it literally scared them to death. So it's been modified and it was made four lanes instead of two. Back then when Ode went across it with his family, well, there wasn't a POW camp that was to the right-hand side. That actually took place a few years later. And the POW camp housed German soldiers. That's where the mother, Maggie, felt the labor pains. And as she felt the labor pains, if you remember, they subsided. But he could have been born there if they had persisted. But remember, that was Chickasha. Isaiah said it would have to go to the ends of the earth. That's very important. If you remember during the feast, I asked, why was it so important that Pastor was born on the east side of the Canadian River and not the west side? I had a lot of young men come tell me the correct answer. They traveled on to Purcell. Remember, they were headed to Tecumseh in Pottawatomie County. And any of you that have looked that up would know that Pottawatomie County in Tecumseh, where he had family, was once also known as part of the unassigned land. Or that was actually part of the Indian tribe. That was the Seminole Indian tribe. So it was on the other side of the unassigned lands. Pottawatomie County and Tecumseh were in the Seminole territory. As they traveled, they got to Purcell and they went across the second bridge. And we were able to find the picture of the second bridge. The bridge that stands now was actually rebuilt right after Pastor was born in 1938 in Purcell. That's the one that connects Purcell to Lexington. That was the newer bridge. But the bridge still come out in Lexington right beside each other. In fact, they built the new one while the other one stood, and then they tore down the old one a few years later. Where they left Purcell was in different locations, but where they ended up in Lexington was at the same spot. And that's the only importance is it lets us know the exact location where they would have come off the bridge. When they entered into Lexington, if you look at the town sign, it says Lexington, 1889. And the reason Lexington was established in 1889, for those of you that may have never researched it, there was a great land run in Oklahoma in 1889. It was to give off lots of land at 160 acres a lot to anyone who wanted to go into the land and claim it. Now, there were many people who went into the land before the time was allowed. And the time that was set was April 22nd at 12 noon, and that was in 1889. There were many people who went in and they squatted in the land and they hid in there, but they were found out, and that's where the sooner comes from in Oklahoma sooner. They went in sooner than they were supposed to. It was illegal, and a lot of them lost their land for doing so. Some of them got by with it, some of them got caught. But Lexington was part of the unassigned lands. Cleveland County. That's where Lexington is at. That was just part of it. That land had not been issued to anybody. No one. Oklahoma had not become a state. Remember, Oklahoma did not become a state till 1907. November 16th, 1907 is when Oklahoma became a state. You had the Indian Territory, which had the five tribal nations, which were the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Creek, the Seminole, and the Chickasha. Those were the five tribal nations. They called them civilized tribal lands, which was that was considered very offensive to the Indians because they were calling everyone else uncivilized by doing so, the Indians. So that was a very derogatory term toward them. Now, and there were many things that took place before that, and hopefully some of you have looked into the Indian Removal Act of 1830 that actually took place to push those Indians all the way into Oklahoma. But that's not the story we're going for. That's for another time. As they crossed the bridge, they entered into Lexington. As soon as they entered into Lexington and crossed the Canadian River, that was the ends of the earth. That was land that had never been established until 1889. That was the last part to ever be assigned out to anyone. Now, some people have said, well, Arizona wasn't a state. No, it wasn't, but it was a territory. It was already claimed. The unassigned lands had been given to no one. And they were giving them away in 1889. And that went all the way over to where the tribal lands were at. And that bordered the Creek, the Seminole, the Choctaw, the Chickasha, and the Cherokee. But the miraculous thing was as soon as Pastor came in, his mother came in, his father came in, as soon as they crossed over, they pulled off to the side, the east side of the Canadian River, and there is where Yisrael Hawkins was born. Buffalo Bill Hawkins. And everyone remembers the story that goes with that. As his father went into town, it's a very short walk into town. We've done it ourselves many times. The Kahans have went up there. Very short walk into town. Lexington's only a block long. So that's the downtown. It's not a very big town. And contrary to popular belief, there are no hospitals in Lexington. You'd have to go to Norman, which is the county seat, or you'd have to go back across the bridge to Purcell. But Pastor's birth certificate clearly shows he was born in Cleveland County. That's where he was born. And we're going to find out that this is the only story that we have where records actually agree with the story that was told. And we can prove these things. We found out through our research that, well, records that were kept, today we have things such as identity theft, social security cards, passports, driver's license. They didn't have those things back in those days. In fact, after doing our research, we find out that ID wasn't really a big thing. It wasn't an uncommon thing for someone to, their father pass away, and they would come in to register their father's death, and they would actually find out that no one ever registered their father's birth. He'd never been registered. It wasn't uncommon for someone to have a child, 6 months later, go register their child. Well, when was he born? About 6 months ago, I guess. Well, let's just say today. And they put down that date. ID wasn't a big thing. You didn't use it. There was no driver's license. It's not like we're filing our taxes today. You didn't show it to get a loan. It wasn't there. They knew you by name. Your land was your biggest property back in those days. And people, they sharecropped, they farmed. Why are we mentioning all this? Well, there's questions come up, and it's obvious that as Yahweh had his plan, Satan has always had her plan. And Satan's never really understood what Yahweh was doing. She's tried to kill the witness many times, just as Moshe, she tried to kill, just as Yeshua Messiah, all the firstborn were killed. Just as when Pastor came through, many, many Jews lost their lives. But Yahweh guarded and protected him. And Isaiah clearly showed where he would be. There was Yahweh. Turn over to 1 Timothy real quick. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We want to read from chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Know this also, that in these last days perilous times will come." And look down to verse 5. Speaking of people having a form of holiness, but denying the authority of it, from such turn away. Denying the authority. There's only one sent in these last days. There was only one man that was born, that was taken to the ends of the earth, and there he was born. There's only one man Yahweh spoke of that would be standing to speak on his behalf. And Isaiah clearly said, "Through you, Yisrael, will I be glorified." That was spoken very clearly. Well, look at verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 6 first. "For they are the sort who creep into the house of Yahweh and lead away silly women and are loaded down with sins, captured by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now look to verse 9. "Now they will proceed no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs was also." Speaking of those in times past that came against those who were in authority. Now, at one time, when Jacob, after he had passed away, one of the first things the enemies first stated was Jacob, who was known as JG, until, if you remember, pastors told the story many times, they were traveling to Israel. And as they were traveling on a boat, a porter came up to them, and asked him what his name was. And if you remember, they had booked this trip with Super Travel and a lady named Jo. As they were traveling, the porter came up and asked, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is JG." They didn't accept that. And they wouldn't accept it. And if you remember, the story goes, he actually said, "Well, can I take the name of Jacob?" Well, later on, it was in the 90s, and I remember the day she was here. Jacob's wife actually came here to the house of Yahweh. And I remember she sat up front. Pastor introduced her to everyone. He called her name, and he was very honored she was here. After services was over with, everyone separated. They went to have meal, and a group of people gathered with her. And she told stories, and they discussed things, her and Pastor, and these people listened about how things took place back as they were growing up and the things that took place. And even she went into great detail about how Jacob's name, how he had to change it under pressure. And Pastor told her, yes, you know, the scripture says it would be under duress. And that was before Pastor even knew the story of what occurred. Well, she was the only person there to tell that story. And Yahweh brought her here, and there were many people there to testify to it. In fact, we have many people. These are the people that were there, just some of them. Kahana Desi Demetro, Kahana Ganaja, Kahana Mathea, Kahana Maria, and Kahana Tanya. These people witnessed this firsthand account. They heard what this woman had to say. And by the matter of two or more witnesses are these things established. Now, many people can take things and go off with them and try to create their own stories, but unless you get it from the mouth that was there, it tends to vary. In fact, I want you to all do something for me sometime today. Create a little story, tell it to the person beside of you, and then have them tell it to someone else, and have them tell it to someone else. Have it go to about 20 people, and have that last person come tell you what that story was you told. You'll find how bizarre it truly gets. You truly will. But if you keep hearing it from the same people that actually lived it, who were there, you find truth. No matter what other things say, memories tend to fade. And we're going to find that as we look into some records here. Now, we recently looked into a lot of the information that had come up, and we can see some confusion that was put into some acts. And, you know, first of all, I would like to thank the people that have helped study and actually send some of this information. It's helped out a lot because I can see that they're suffering from the very same frustration that I've suffered from with all the false information that's out there. And hopefully we can help clear up some of that today. It's amazing how the minds of those who come against Yahweh's witness can be confused because they did not stand for the authority. But here at Yahweh's house, we've always sought the truth. Now, I want to show you some things fairly quickly just to show you how much records can be off and how much things were not really paid attention to. If you look at this, that's Lewis, Daniel, and Flora Bell. That would be Ode's mother and father. That's their headstones. It says Lewis died January 19th of 1870, and he died January the 23rd of 1941. So that has to be true, right? I mean, it's there. It's set in stone. Has to be true. When you research Lewis Daniel, see if we can pull it up here. Lewis Daniel, he died in Young County. It says he died January 22nd, 1941. Well, that's a website where people put information in. So how true can that be? Well, this is the actual record from the county. And if you look right here, there is Lewis Daniel. He died in Young County. And it says he died January the 22nd, 1941. But what's a day on a headstone, right? He died January 22nd, 1941. Now remember what the headstone said, right? Let me get back to that. The headstone says he died January the 23rd, 1941. So it's a day off, give or take, you know. once again, and I'm not trying to be facetious or kind of smart, but when I spoke to a lady who was very helpful, her name was Julie. She was a clerk of court with Vital Records. And I spoke with her, and she told me, she said, "You don't understand how records were not important at that time." She said, "You don't understand how when people come in, it went off of memory." And she told me, she said, "You may get your date of birth right, but even the date of death could be wrong." And that was kind of shocking to me, because I thought date of death, well, surely you get that right. People were there when you died. Now, your birth, you know, people may not have been there when you were born, but they were there when you died. But I want you to notice how that's just one. Okay, that's just one. I want to show you another. And it's amazing how the enemies are confused by such things. This right here, that's William Otis Hawkins. That's Pastor's father. That's his father. And it says that he was born April the 11th of 1902, and he died September the 6th of 1974. And I also have, through the hard work of many people, I received this recently, and they confirm, if you look, the very same thing. You know, there's William Otis Hawkins. He was born April 11th of 1902, and he died September 6th of 1974. So that should pretty much settle the matter. I mean, after all, you wouldn't mess up two headstones in the same family, right? Well, this right here, this is William Otis Hawkins' death certificate. And if you notice, it is the official document, and it warns you not to make copies of it, so we didn't. But this is the official document. What does this have to do? Why is it so important? If you look, remember it said the date of birth for William Otis Hawkins was April the 11th of 1902. His death certificate says his date of birth was September 10th of 1902. Now notice the date of death. It matches. It matches the headstone. September the 6th of 1974. Was he born in April? Was he born in September? I don't know. I wasn't there. And neither does the clerk of court. She told me clearly, I don't know. I wasn't there. Let's go back to those who are posting the records, okay? Those who are posting the records online. Now we clearly see this is how easily things are mistaken. Once again, and there's a blade of grass there. That is the 11th. So the people that did say April the 11th, they did get the correct information off the headstone. Now look over to the side at the information posted here. It says death September 16th, 1974. And that's right beside a headstone that says September 6th of 1974. Which the date of birth doesn't agree with the death certificate, which is the official document. Now, I did call, you know, these burial sites are at the Tonk Valley Cemetery up by Graham. And I did call. I thought, well, I'll call the man at the cemetery. And I had someone call, and sure enough, the man died. But someone inherited the cemetery, and he said, I'll check my records. And we told him the problem we were having, and he said, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I'd go buy the death certificate. He said, it's not an uncommon thing for things to be wrong. He said, things like this occur all the time. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Well, Yahweh has sent us someone in these last days, and even Luetta, who was J.G., Jacob's wife, as they spoke, they even talked about that young year-and-a-half-old boy. Or he would have been 2 years that October. October 20th was when he was born. He would have been 2 years. Pastor was born August the 28th of 1934. And he gave the name, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. Well, why is that so important? Because these two people testified to the fact. She came to the house of Yahweh. She has since passed away, but she came to the house of Yahweh and she testified to other people who will gladly speak for her behalf. And she clearly remembered the story. And so did Jacob. And that's what they spoke about was, you remember how you got your name, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. Your young or your older brother, who was just a year and a half, is what they said, older than you, actually spoke this name. Well, why is that so important also? Vital records were not something that were kept very well back in those days. This is Vernon's headstone. Vernon George Hawkins. He was also known as Sonny. It says he was born October 20th of 1930. Doesn't fit, huh? Now, we know they don't mess headstones up. That's a fact. Those are correct. He died June 1st of 1955. Died a young man. When I went to check for Vernon's, I called the clerk of court. The lady said, I don't even have him on file. But if you want to come dig through the boxes, you might find it. And I said, well, the other family members I've researched, the dates are wrong, even on their headstones. And she laughed. She said, well, what's the problem? Everybody goes through that. And I said, well, I'd really like to have specific dates. That's what I really would like to have. And she said, you know how many people come in here want things that you have to remember. You're asking me for dates of Oklahoma when it wasn't even a state. You're asking me for things in Texas when ID wasn't important. She said, and when the people filed it back then, she said, I'm not speaking mean of them, but they really went off of memory, what they remembered. Now, if you'll notice one other thing, outside the date on the headstone not being correct with those who actually lived with him and grew up with him, they would know. They lived with him. If you'll notice, Vernon died 1955. I want to show you another one. That's his mother's. That's Maggie May. Same kind of headstone, right? She died 1956, so it's not odd that they're similar. It's not odd that they're similar at all. But here's Odes, who died 1974, and it's the same identical headstone. Were those headstones placed on the graves when the people died back in the 50s? I very seriously doubt they would all look that identical. And if you go to the cemetery, which is Tonk Valley Cemetery, not hiding anything from anybody, you'll see that they've all aged about the same. I had a grandfather that died in 1974. And I actually just recently went back to look at his headstone because I was in the area to see what his headstone looked like, and it was falling apart. It had, the pores had opened up on it. Now, why is all of this so important? We have to realize that in these last days, there's one sin. Praise y'all. Isaiah plainly said that from the bowels, from the womb of his mother, would his name be mentioned. Didn't say how old he would be. So is it really important whether the headstone's right or not? Well, I know it's wrong. I've proven to myself and many others that there are many headstones that are wrong. The clerks of court tell you. The last thing Letty told me, she said, isn't it great enough to know that he just lived? I said, for me, it sure is. That's all I need. Praise Allen. But when things are told, and just to show you how far off some of these things can get, you know, I know, and this is not nitpicking anybody or picking on anybody, but just for the record, set the story straight. I know the date of birth is different than the death certificate, but on the death certificate, the names are actually spelled different also. Otis was spelled O-D-I-S and not O-T-I-S. So when you're doing information, you're doing search, and you really have to try to get the specifics. And I can tell you, I looked for a while, and without pastor's guidance and someone who lived through it, there was no way we would have found this information. No way whatsoever. You had to have somebody that was there and that lived through it to find it. And we have to hold fast to the one whom Yahweh has sent, because we know these things to be true. Vernon, I have no doubt, was born in 1932. I have no doubt. There was a man that grew up with him. There was an older brother that grew up with him named J.G. There was a younger one named Buffalo Bill. They all grew up together. And Luetta also testified to the fact that the young man made mention of his name at a year and a half years old, or almost 2 years old. They all testified to that fact. So which would you believe? A headstone that it's obviously two of them are wrong and none of them agree with the death certificate? Or would you agree with someone who's trying to show you that, well, this story may be wrong? Yahweh said he took him to the ends of the earth in Cleveland County, and there he would be born. Yahweh's done everything he said he would do, and I don't think Yahweh stopped yet. I want to show you something very quickly. I had the privilege of going to the Cherokee Reservation. I spoke with Cherokee. That was where my family heritage come from. And when I heard about the unassigned lands, that's where I got first involved in it, and I really got interested in it when Pastor made mention of the five tribal lands. When I grew up in North Carolina, I grew up right at Cherokee. A lot of my family were from there. So I went, and I wanted to speak to them about the white buffalo to see what they knew. This is one thing they had. It was a really amazing picture. It has a white buffalo. It has a white buffalo up in the top. And it has a man in the bottom. It's an Indian. And I asked the tribal council, I said, what does that mean? And they said, the white buffalo and the man will become one. I said, well, what does that mean? They said, the white buffalo and the man will become one. I said, but can you explain that? They're great people, and they're trying. But they will soon see how the white buffalo and the man became one. Once again, for anybody that has any questions whatsoever, seek out the place Yahweh has chosen to establish his name, as Deuteronomy 12:5 says, and in Deuteronomy 17, it plainly says, go to the priests who are in office at that time, and they will answer your questions. Any questions you have, seek the counsel of Yahweh. Yahweh bless. I now turn it over to the great Khan Zephaniah.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have three quick stories in the news, again, showing the prophecy being fulfilled. And the first one is E. coli in the United States, and it's like a dozen cases and one baby girl dead. And this story is important, of course, because it is one of the diseases that's talked about in Scripture. But the next story, I think, is interesting because especially when it's juxtaposed against this first story, because it's the super gonorrhea that's spreading around the world. And what's interesting about this story is that no one carried it. It was in the print news online, and I couldn't find a video for it, so I finally found one in, it's called iBusiness News. That's why it's kind of a little bit of a lower-produced news program. But 170 million people a year are getting this now. And it's interesting that the major news networks don't want you to see this, but they're going to talk about E. coli, which has killed one baby girl out of 330 million people in the United States. But that's because they want people to get the gonorrhea. That's actually what this news program promotes in its programming later on in the night. And then the pace of military suicides is increasing to a record level, more than one a day. There's been 154 military suicides so far this year. And at the same point in 2011, there was only 130, which is over a 20% increase, and then in 2010 there was 123, and so that they're not really doing as well as they think they are psychologically. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. We got a crowd here today. Man, look at that. Okay, real good. Woo! Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. What a wonderful day. And a wonderful plan of Yahweh. It couldn't be better. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've got so much stuff I'd like to show today and bring today. The peaceful solution. Pay close attention. The peaceful solution character education program. offered to mankind in the beginning is a training program that trains those who choose that way of Yahweh to care for others, teaches you to care for others, repent of rebellion, convert to the believing of the one that Yahweh sends. It teaches us to do unto others as we would have them do to us. It trains you to avoid being pulled into attitudes of hatred, fighting, wars, retaliation, destruction. It trains you to avoid things that are unhealthy, the things that cause sickness, disease, and confusion, as we see throughout the world today. Confusion causes the mind to change from original performance to the unhealthy state we see today. Confusion causes you to do things that harm yourself and others. It causes you to retaliate and to make matters worse. It causes your appetite to crave unhealthy items that, when eaten or performed, makes matters worse. When Yahweh put Adam and Eve in that perfect training program, he said, "Guard this way, the peaceful solution character education program. If you go contrary to this way, in that day you will start activities changing in your body that will weaken your body, causing your body to start dying. So, dying, you will die. In the end of the times allotted to mankind, you will have descended to the lowest point and will cause destruction to the earth and man. Guard the peaceful solution I have given you, and you will be accepted into the Yahweh family and will live forever, ruling as I rule, a once-in-a-lifetime offer. Those who refuse Yahweh's peaceful solution character education program will in the end bring destruction that will prove what rebellion or refusal to practice the peaceful solution character education program will bring. A once-in-a-lifetime lesson. But the history will be taught by us forever." Praise Yahweh. And Yahweh, if you'll turn over to Isaiah, he shows the end result of this. And of course, he shows a work that goes along with this, that the great Kohan, Eliahiler Hawkins brought just now, and the way that man fights against it, enemies of Yahweh's work. If you remember, they did the same thing with Yahshua, the apostles, so forth. It makes me think, you know, they seem to have lost a great deal of understanding from the time that they were here in the house. But it makes me think of what Stephen, the great deacon, Stephen, in Acts, the 6th chapter and 7th chapter of Acts, they said they couldn't understand why I was jumping from subject to subject last week. And I brought a lot of articles that just went on from subject to subject but really didn't do any teaching of anything. I said, "That's so strange that the great deacon that I heard this morning, I didn't tell him what to say, but the great deacon, Tovia Grinowitz Hawkins brought out. He may himself made me think of Stephen when he was speaking this morning. He had no trouble understanding last week's sermon. But the people around him, let's go over there just a minute, and before we go further, I think it's Acts 6 and 7 is where this great deacon was talking to the people. And verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs now, get the signs among the people. Now, some of those who belonged to the synagogue called Freedom Synagogue, that is the Cyrenes, the Alexandrians, and some of them from Sicily and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen, but they were not able to stand up against his wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So they secretly instigated men to say that he was going to destroy the temple and he is blaspheming Yahweh and so forth. The elders and the scribes, they instigated people." And verse 13 said, "And they also brought forward false witnesses who said, 'This man does not cease speaking blasphemous words against the holy place and the laws.'" Of course, that's speaking of their traditions. But see, they couldn't understand the words of Yahweh, the words of the prophets and the laws. They weren't of the house of Yahweh, probably even people that had left the house and lost their understanding. But here in Isaiah 24 now, he shows you what we're going to bring. Those people who won't practice the peaceful solution, this is what they're bringing upon themselves, and this is in the last days, following priest, people, so with the priest. This is Isaiah 24, second verse. It's going to be upon everyone, he says. The earth right now is mourning and fading away. That's what we're bringing to you when we show you these news articles that we're showing you. And of course, I know everyone here understands. It just puzzles me why the world can't see this and see from the news that we're bringing that the earth is mourning and fading away. The people of the earth, it says. The earth mourns and fades away. And the haughty people of the earth languish. That is, they're confused. They're back and forth. They don't know what to do. The earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they've transgressed the laws. Still transgressing the laws. Breaking the laws of Yahweh. Not willing to keep the peaceful solution offered to them in the beginning. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth. And that's what we're seeing in today's news. The news articles that we show here weekly. That's what we're showing you. That it's showing you the same thing that Isaiah said was going to be upon the earth in this time period called the last days. Starting in Genesis, that prophecy was brought forth. And notice he says that the last part of it, the earth is going to be more burned and few men left because they won't keep the peaceful solution character education program. The critics, the verse 10, the cities of confusion are broken down. Confusion. This of course, comes forth. It's called Babylon in Revelation 17 that shows you the leading religion that sits on seven hills that brings forth the Babylon, the confusion, the abominations that defile the mind and of the person. Verse 14, he says, They will lift up their voice. They will sing for the majesty of Yahweh. They will cry loud from the sea. For this cause, glorify Yahweh in the fires. They is speaking of you, of course, saying, and that's what we're doing. We're lifting up our voice and saying, glorify Yahweh. He has a plan, and he's going to stop all of these things throughout the universe. He has a plan to make you in his image, after his likeness, to rule as Yahweh rules. And you will bring peace. You will bring, after this is over. So glorify Yahweh in what you see. Don't curse Yahweh. He's the one that's allowing it. But he's allowing it for a purpose, to show you what your rebellion brings. What did Cain bring to the earth but rebellion against Yahweh's law? And Yahweh saying to you, if you're righteous, you will be accepted. But if you're not, you're going to bring continual war on yourself. And in the last days, destruction. For this cause, glorify Yahweh in the fires, the name of Yahweh, Father of Israel, in the isles and of the sea. That's what we're doing. We're lifting him up to the world, saying there's no other power besides this being in the universe. From the ends of the earth have we heard songs, glory to the righteous. Righteous, those who keep Yahweh's laws. But I said, my leanness, woe to me. Yeah, it's hard sometimes because sometimes we got to experience these things, and sometimes people won't repent till the deathbed strikes them and the silver cord is almost broken, as one of the prophets put it. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yes, they do. They are. The rapes that took place in the army, that are taking place in the army. We just read that. Why would we show that film just to generate your curiosity? This right here is a sign of the Boy Scouts. If you study that closely, you'll see the great sword right in the middle of it. You see this on the Boy Scout cookies and the Girl Scout cookies. Why would I show you that? It comes from the initiations of the third eye. I don't know if you've read about that and what they do, but it's a religion. It's their religion to create sodomy. And, of course, now the sodomy is being introduced, and they're saying we need to accept the sodomites into the Boy Scout leadership. Well, at the same time now, the Boy Scouts who were a few years old now, they got lawsuits coming against the Catholic Church, against the leaders of the Boy Scouts for their rapes. Boy Scouts of America will consider ending the longtime opposition to allowing gays and lesbians to serve. They had a petition. Now here's how widespread this thing is. The earth is mourning. The people are mourning. Their minds are disintegrating. They have no idea what is right or what is wrong anymore. More than 250,000 people signed this petition demanding that the Boy Scouts end the ban on openly gay membership. Well, it's been there all along, and of course the leaders are being filed on. If you look at, try to remember this. Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, 23:15. They are bringing profaneness to all the world. The priest of Jerusalem, the violent men that took over the temple, that later destroyed the temple, moved to Rome, tried to destroy all the people that followed the Bible, followed the scriptures, tried to destroy the scriptures themselves. You couldn't even buy a book of Yahweh for 7,000, or several thousand years. Yes. And Yahweh even tells us in prophecy when he's going to bring it back. He let it be destroyed. He let the people do without his word totally. He said, you're all going into total darkness now. I'm going to allow this to occur. This is what you want. This is what you're going to get. And for several thousand years, crusades were formed to kill people off who would follow any part of a manuscript written by the prophets or the apostles. They killed the apostles, they killed their followers for thousands of years. Trillions of them, one historian said. Well, Jeremiah 23:15, if you have a King James Version, you can read that for yourself, and it says they're going to bring profaneness to all the world. What is profaneness? Well, the military, the suicides. Why would we show you this? Our deaconess understand. Why can't a fall away elder or elders who have left the house of Yahweh and been gone only a few years, why is their understanding gone? And I'm not criticizing anyone, but I can tell you right now, the only way to get your understanding back at all is to repent, of course, convert, go to the priest, humble yourself, do what the priest says, and they will work with you to get you back in contact with Yahweh. I know they're crying out for help. I remember reading about suicide and what makes a person commit suicide and what's the signs. What would be the signs of a person that's going to kill himself or herself? And there's signs that you can look at and go by. Sometimes it'll be they start giving their stuff away and they'll say, I'm not going to need this anymore. Well, of course, psychology shows they're crying out for help. And when they call and they bitch and they raise hell and they try to accuse and try to make things look like a lie, you know, this is so ridiculous, you know, it stinks, but this is their cry to you for help. And of course, the best thing you can tell them, you know, repent and be converted, and maybe you will get your understanding back. But right now, you're in Daniel 12:10. That's where you stand, right there. Daniel 12:10 tells you where you are and why you can't understand things that our small children in the house of Yahweh at this time, they understand. Well, here is the army, and we showed this film. Why would we get on that subject of our army, the people in the armed forces committing one a day, commit suicide every day of the year, committing suicide? Oh, that's just an interesting subject. Surely, you know, public relations, that's what we're in. No, it's to show you how bad things are getting and how the people are actually crying out for help, but they're not getting it. The military also is struggling with this is what's bringing the suicide, increased sexual assaults. Increased sexual assaults. The same thing the Boy Scouts are suing for now, that's been in the Boy Scouts, or were in it for a certain length of time. Desperation, anger grows for Spain or Spanish youth. You saw that. I don't know if we played that or not. We had to cut some of the articles down because of too much time, and I needed more time but I wanted to bring this out, what the research that we've had going, Kohan brought this morning, Kohan Elia Holler Hawkins. But here in this right here, desperation for Spanish youth with 51% unemployed. Now, they're desperate. They're hungry. They're homeless. Some of them have lost their homes. This is going on in America. The earth is mourning and fading away. That's what this article was shown for. The earth is mourning and fading away. That is the systems. The Babylonian system of confusion is mourning. It's fading away. The people are frustrated. They're desperate. Desperate for help. Crying out for help. Yes, and here we have suicides galore. I'll bring you that next week, Yahweh willing. Suicides in America. People killing themselves because they have no answers to these problems. We have the answers, brethren. We were speaking of bullying. The world is speaking of bullying. Well, of course, there's a reason for bullying. And people think they can put themselves above. This is their way of trying to lift themselves up from the sewer line, the septic system that they're in. So they try to raise themselves up above others. This is a psychological thing that is taking place in their mind, that they feel better when they can pick themselves up and show that they're more important than someone else. Cyberbullying now is taking place. Cyberbullying. I've had that going on for years. I started to say I'd suffered it. I'm not suffering. I'm rejoicing. Yahweh told me I was going to go through this, and that's exactly what I'm going through. But your cyberbullying that you're dishing out towards me, I don't look at it. Sometimes I hear about it. It doesn't bother me. I know you're crying for help, and I know the house of Yahweh is the only ones that can help. We tell in the very first lesson in the Peaceful Solution Character Education, don't commit suicide. That's what a lot of children do when they run into this cyberbullying. It starts at another place but goes back to the computer, the 666 computer. The deacon also understood that and brought it out this morning. This is a wonderful information. Study it. Take it. Listen to what that boy said. He's a young man. He's a young man, but very intelligent in Yahweh. Desperation and anguish. That's where they're standing. So they come at me with cyberbullying. They do it all over the world. The first thing we tell them, the first lesson, cut your computer off. You don't need the thing. Don't go near that website. Start studying the Peaceful Solution. Find the real life. Find how you can handle these problems. That's what I do. These things, these lessons, most of the things come from experience, from myself and from about 50 other teachers that wrote the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. This right here, the biggest thing that is taking place here is the debt problem. I don't know if you remember, but I've said for 50 years that credit is the curse of America. And they started this back years ago, and they started passing out credit cards after the computer came along. And they started pushing, this is the way they make money in the banks. I remember a lesson in, it was Dale Carnegie's Institute. And one of the things he started with was a seminar, a banker's seminar. And the man came in and said, and addressed thousands of people and said, if you know, everyone hold up your hand that knows how to make an honest dollar in the banking business. Nobody held up their hand. So that kind of proves that money is not being made honestly. There was no way of making money honestly in the banking business. First off, you're breaking the laws when you put out money to these people and you charge interest on that money. And Yahweh tells you not to do it. But this was the ruin. This started the ruin of the United States. And it was for a purpose. It was to show people true satisfaction, true peace, true joy, versus what the people are running at after today. They borrowed money. They started living on credit cards. They run their debts up. They got another credit card to help pay that credit card. But pretty soon it all ended. It got to where they couldn't get money anymore. So they lost everything they had. Also, the government itself pulled this trick on the people. Loaned them money, big money. We have people sitting right here listening to me today that told me this story, besides my dad. I remember all these things that my dad and mother told me as the great Kohan Eliyahu brought out this morning, but I'm not the only one that remembered them. My brother, who was 10 years my senior, you may call that a lie. His name was J.G. to begin with. They said that was a lie. Well, we proved who the liars were. They said that was a lie. He had always had the name Jacob. But I grew up with this man. I grew up with my brother, who was 1 year and 10 months older than I was when I was born. That was his age. That was what I was told. And I think my mother and dad my 10-year-old brother, who said he remembered this and remembered the one-year-old giving me my name when he was sitting on my dad's knee. Well, this was a story that was told in my family for years. Everyone knew that story. My uncles and aunts, they called me the miracle baby. They laughed. I think they didn't take it serious. But my brother took it serious when he was, you know, later on in life, when he and I were deeply involved in the scriptures. And this was the story that Luetta told when she was here. And I started calling to see the people and what they remembered about it, and all the people that was with her that day when she was here visiting before she died. And that was after Jacob died. And she is the one that told us why he actually changed his name. I didn't know it till then. He told me that they wouldn't accept an initial name in Israel. That's all he told me. And then Luetta told us all that day. There was about 10 women there with her that day, and she told us all. In fact, she asked me if Jacob ever told me why he changed his name to Jacob. And I said, no, he just said they wouldn't accept it in Israel. She said, we were about to get kicked off of the train in Germany. And I wondered why they was on that train. And Joe, the woman named Joe, at the Super Travel Agency, told me she's the one that booked this trip for them. So, you know, all these things are true and correct. And under duress, this man said, just call me Jacob. Now, that was Luetta's words out of her mouth when she visited with us that afternoon, telling us that. And they were puzzled why I changed my name, because they said, Jacob had written me a letter. And she said, did you get Jacob's letter? And I said, yes, but I'd already changed my name. So that didn't make any difference by the time I got the letter. But he said, you might remember before you change your name that your one-year-old brother named you, that gave you that name, he said. And of course, we knew that was a miracle name. There was something else. Now, this took place in Purcell. And later on, when I told you my mother washed in a Arn Kittle, and she actually boiled the the blue jeans and things to, because washing did not come every day like we do it, most people do today. It's a big waste, but you don't need to, but but back then it was a once a week job of washing, and she had boiled the blue jeans to get them pure. They didn't stay that way long, but that's what she would do to wash the blue jeans. But later on, when Dad and Mother had a car and they had a little money, Mother would go into the laundromat in Purcell. And I could tell you approximately where that laundromat is. It's in my mind. But I remember when we would go from our farm into Purcell, we would take was going in on 39, and then we'd take a left when the highway came to a T. The highway did, 39 did not proceed on straight, but because it would have run into the river. So you took a left, and you go to the housing district, and about the center ways with the housing district, I remember that laundromat setting off the road about one block in this housing district. And Mother, there was an Indian owned this laundromat. I don't know what kind of Indian. I think about the only thing I know is from the 12 tribes. That I know that for sure because Yahweh tells me that. He could have been some of my ancestors, but he told Mother. I didn't hear him tell Mother, but he told Mother I was a very special person. And he said, "Watch, because this is a very special person, and you're going to see big things from this person." Now, I heard Mother telling Dad this. It's the way I heard it. She was telling Dad what this Indian man had told her at that laundromat. Anyway, there were certain things taking place. I don't know why that took place. I just know that it wasn't kept. It wasn't kept secret, and this neither was my birth kept secret. It was voiced around my uncles and aunts, and everyone knew about this. And so did my brother and my sister-in-law. She heard about it. Luetta heard about it. It was talked about. It was something that they knew was a miracle, and they talked about it. I was there, but I don't remember the things. I do remember what they told me. That's what I witnessed to. Well, now we see desperation. We do see desperation from debts and curses. We see that a work was started by Yahweh. A work was started where he brought forth a man as the great Kohan Eliah Hyler Hawkins just brought out. A work was started at that time that has led us to this time when the earth is really speeding up going downhill. And of course, Isaiah says it's going to be burned there in verse 6. And few men left, but right now it's fading away. And the people are frustrated, they're angry. If you look back to Isaiah 8, this is a scripture that this article makes me think of. Isaiah 8, because he's describing the conditions that we're in right now. And if you look at verse 20, he says, "To the law and to the prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Well, the prophecy says now that there's one sent that will start a work, the house of Yahweh. And he will bring forth the prophecies and the law. Yahweh plainly says that. Now, if those who are not of this house is shown in the very next verse, he says, and they're described, by the way, above here, as not clinging to Yahweh, not accepting his knowledge. And verse 21 says, "And they," continuing them again, he says, "they will pass through darkness, pressed Hungry, you get that? They're pressed to pay their back debts. Debts that they never should have made. Debts that they were coaxed into by the banks who knew this couldn't go on forever, but in their lifetime they wanted to make money. So they thought nothing about the person they were pushing this debt on that they know they couldn't pay. And this took place by the millions. And this is what took place in Spain, and this is the trouble they're in. I was going to show you last week a picture. I know I got it. Just hang on. I know I brought that picture. Here it is. I had a reason for it. I mentioned it. I've mentioned this before many times, that my dad had a syrup mill when I was about 9 or 10 years old, maybe younger, but I rode the mule that pulled the big rock round and around and around on top of a platform. We would cut the, it took several men, you know, to do this, but they would cut the sugar cane, lay it in front of the rock. The rock would roll over it, squeeze the juice out as it went, then it would run down to the vat, which was down below, the cooking vat, under which we had a fire. And this came out in this picture. It came out in the Renfro Almanac in 1954. That's a pretty old book, but we do have the book and the story on this. But here is the picture of the vat, the cooking vat, for the sugarcane syrup that made the sorghum molasses, from which we made sorghum molasses. Now, you could also get sugar from this, and where the juice would slosh up on the trough that ran down to the vat, and that sugar, that juice would dry, it would be white like sugar cane sugar, of course. And we would chip that off and eat it, of course, and very delicious. But the vat, that's what most people wanted, was the sorghum molasses because of its health benefits, and it would keep throughout the wintertime, and the people would live off of it. Normally, at that time, they would eat that and biscuits of a morning for breakfast. Sometimes they would have butter with it. People owned their own cows at that time, and they lived off of the land. Now, why do I show you this? Up until 1954, they were still using this as this almanac shows in this article, 1954. That was the making of the sorghum molasses. Well, you see there about five people, a woman testing the sugar, that's the dried sugar that she is testing there, and probably, she's probably guiding the men into making this and taking the sugar for other purposes. Because we often did. We'd scrape it off and try, bring a sack home to mother, and mother would use it in the oatmeal or something like that, or rice, and we'd have it for breakfast. If you notice, too, there's a drum here. This is a drum that a blacksmith shop would make. It was made out of cedar and an iron strap that went around it. And a blacksmith could make that drum in probably, a half a day or so, maybe make two a day of those drums, and he could make a living. He'd stay busy making those drums that sold very cheap. But this drum was full of water. It had a circulation system. It went back and forth here in this vat, and when it got too hot, he would turn the water on here, open a faucet right here that was also handmade. It wasn't factory built like it is today. So you can, I'm talking about jobs here. And of course, as you can see, yes, quite a difference. There was five people that we see here employed. Now, yet that wasn't the sugarcane cutters. Those came from several different farms, you know, them and their boys, the families. Sometimes they would come, bring their family. The wife would cook in the field, especially if they were a few miles from the place we were going to make sugarcane. But there were several people employed there. Now, if you had a 20-acre field, which was a big field at that time because you farmed it with horses or mules, so it would take a while to plant, you know, to break that land, prepare it, and then plant it, and to raise 20 acres of sugarcane. But if you had a field of, say, 20 acres of sugarcane and it made well, you could probably get 100 gallons of molasses off of that 20 acres of sugarcane. Now, if you sold that for $1 a gallon, you would have $100. Now, of course, you would have to pay the person who's getting this, you would have to pay their wages, which was cheap, but you know, a person could go from sugarcane field to sugarcane field, and before the sugarcane was all reaped, and after that, the broom corn fell in behind it, and throughout the summer, you could make enough money to buy your clothing and food for the winter. Everything, shoes and everything. Enough food to supply you for the winter. Well, a lot of people were employed here. I would say today, if with the big factories, of course, the horsepower now is coming not from horses like it did then, but from the generation of electricity. Now, remember, you may have seen the ad here in Abilene. They have an electric company that shows that electricity came to Abilene in 1897, I believe it is, or something like that. People go into shock when they see that, you know, that electricity, why was it so late? It had just been invented. Knowledge increased. Knowledge increased, also horsepower. Well, of course, this horsepower also took away from employment. And the people lost their jobs. They were forced. These people that used to live off of the farms, they were actually forced into, they had no choice. They were forced into trying to find a job working for a factory or working for the highways, the highway departments. They had to make a big change in this time period right here, big change. Knowledge increased. Horsepower stopped coming from horses and went to motors, electric motors. Each person lost his job and, of course, was forced into a change of life in this period of time. Now, this is what the prophecy shows would take place in this time period. Knowledge would be increased. And as the deacon brought out this morning in the sermon, this first computer and how big and clumsy it was has now come down to us where they have small computers that helps you to operate an automobile. It keeps you from, no matter how hard you mash a brake, it won't skid. Some of them will stop a car if you're backing up and a toy is behind it. The computer itself will stop the car for you. It's all kinds of stuff. In fact, when the computer breaks down, your car stops too. But here is part of the change that I'm showing you took place. The big things that I want to show you, I don't have time today, but we will get to them, but is the prophecy of Daniel, who showed that the knowledge would be increased. Then he gives us a time period. And he said, it's going to be this many days. Well, I'm the only one that's given that prophecy. Daniel didn't know what it was. He only knew the amount of days. He didn't know what it was coming to. And he gives you 1,335 days there. And he said, blessed are you if you come to this time period. Well, what was he talking about? We're the only ones that know. Tell the world that. We know it. It's going to be revealed in the house of Yahweh. Well, right now, we're living in a time when hunger, 21, verse chapter 8, verse 21, and they will pass through darkness, hard pressed, and hungry, and it will come to pass, this is Isaiah 8, verse 21, it will come to pass when they are hungry that they will be enraged. That's exactly what the article said. They're enraged, they're desperate, they're angry. And their anger is growing. They're enraged, hungry, and they will be enraged. They will curse their kings. Have you seen any of that going on? How on earth could Isaiah know in this time period when we'd be glorifying Yahweh in what we see coming, the house of Yahweh would be glorifying him, and at the same time the world cursing their kings, going hungry, losing their homes, losing jobs that was created by corporations, and not having any knowledge 5,600 years, almost 6,000 years before this. How did we live without electricity, without televisions, without computers? Well, Yahweh gave us that knowledge. He increased the knowledge. And with that, I'll bring you more next week, but it all ties in together. Every bit of this ties in together. And Yahweh's showing us step by step what this goes to. It would be great if Satan could turn all your minds and say, Israel is lying. His brother wasn't born when he said he was born. He was older than that. It wouldn't make any difference. Yahweh doesn't give the date anyway. He just says, I'm named from the bowels of my mother. They'd call my name. But the fact is, there was a story that went with this, and it traveled all the way down till this time period. And Yahweh sent my sister-in-law here to talk to these women that was named. There was more than that there, but they couldn't remember. They got distracted by children or something, they said, and couldn't remember the conversation that went on between, but most of the people did. They remember it, and they know what Luetta testified to. I thought this was quite a joke that my dad had four different birth dates. Now, was he born four times, or could that, though some of them, be wrong? Fact is, they could all be wrong. Not one of them could be right. I think my dad actually was born in 1800. What makes me think that, he had a child when he was 74. I was here. I remember this. He had a child. That child is probably still alive. I don't know. I haven't had contact with him. But it was a boy, and he was 74, and I remember his age at that time, and me and my brother talking about how healthy he was at that time. So there's something wrong with those dates, too. I think all of them are wrong, but I'm not going to go. Once we get our subconscious mind, we'll know all of this, and we can put it down in detail, and then we'll show you exactly. But right now, nothing, it seemed like nothing can be proved. But I think Yahweh did this to show them how confused they are. I think he did this a purpose. Because only the believers, only the ones who will turn from sin will understand this anyway. You know, they'll understand the importance, they'll see the world going down. And just exactly as he said here, they'll be enraged and curse their king and their gods and look upward for help, then they will look to the earth and behold trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. Now that thick darkness, of course, is the nuclear wars that we see is building right now from the increase of knowledge and the increase, the invention of the computer that didn't go long before it went right into the hands of the army. And, of course, the invention of the nuclear bomb, that's all in the history there. And, of course, you, blessed are you because you came to a time period. Not you, but your parents did. That was the start of it. That brought forth a work, the bringing up of the work. And in the last days, you will no longer say, blessed is Yahweh who brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt. I dare say there's not a fall away or anyone in the world that understands what he said there. Who brought up? Well, they fished Moses out of the water, and he led a work. That was it. That's about as deep as they could get. The bringing up actually started with Abraham. The bringing up of you started in the time period that Daniel actually gives you. He shows you what would bring up this work. He actually shows that. No one's ever understood it till now. They've fished for it. Commentaries have fished for it. They say it fits nothing. It doesn't fit anything. Those numbers don't coincide with anything. We know, and we're bragging about it. They'll gossip about it and tell everyone, you better stay tuned in if you want to know those numbers that he gives in the last part of Daniel 12. Blessed are those that come to these days. And I'll show you in a few weeks or months, whenever I can get to that prophecy, it's lined up and ready to come in. It's just a matter of getting to it. But listen to every prophecy, every sermon. When you hear a news article given, it's given for a reason. The reason is to show that the prophecy is being fulfilled. It just falls right into place. Everything that Yahweh said is coming to pass. In detail, the fine details. How did he know that people were going to be hungry and cursing their king at this time, and then very shortly now passing into thick darkness, the nuclear bomb that will darken the sun? And we have it, and the computer to guide it to do so. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!